Has anybody got a match? Thanks. Now I can light an old gold and listen to Meet Me at Parkey's. Hollywood, California, the makers of Old Gold cigarettes, the treasure of them all, invite you to meet me at Parkey's. So come along to Parkey's restaurant and say hello to Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Wally Mayer, Arthur Q. Bryan, Obie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, and our genial host, the star of our Old Gold show, Bart Gekakis.
Boy, education is a wonderful thing. Am I glad when I'm educated? You know, when I was a boy, I wanted for to quit school. But my father, he wouldn't let me. He dismissed it when I finished the third grade. the third grade, that was the happiest 10 years of my life. You know, all the other pupils is used for to be jealous of me just because the teacher liked me. Why shouldn't she like me? Was engaged. I went around with that teacher for 14 years. The reason what we kept company so long was because she was from Iran and I didn't want to rush her. That's why I was stolen. Oh, yes, that teacher has really loved me. You know, she has given me a book. She told me for to keep that book all my life because she said that book was dedicated to me. Here it is. It's called Little Stories for Little Minds. I never get tired for reading this story here. This is my favorite one. Just listen to this. I see the mouse. You see the mouse. He sees the mouse. They see the mouse. We see the mouse. The cat sees the mouse. The end. Oh, and this story here, this is very interesting. Too. It takes brains to write this stuff, boy. It says, do you see John? John is rolling his hoop. John is rolling his hoop down the street. Where is John? Where is John? Maybe when he was rolling the hoop down the street, he didn't see that open manhole or something. Oh, here comes Betty. Hello, Betty.
Hiya, Parky. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just relapsing, Betty, reading my book.
Oh, that's the book your teacher gave you many years ago, isn't it, Parky?
Yeah, Betty, this book brings back wonderful memories. Yes. You know, I'll never forget the first day when my father, he took me to school. That school was 40 miles from my house. We were so poor, Betty. We couldn't afford him to ride. You know, I had to walk all the way to that school. I could just picture it now, walking down that road, 14 miles to school, and my father was holding me by the hand because I couldn't walk myself.
Well, why couldn't you walk by yourself, Parky?
Because I was wearing my mother's shoes, you see. Those high heels was killing me. It was killing my father, too.
The high heels were killing your father?
Yes, he was wearing his mother's shoes, you see.
Well, whose shoes was your mother wearing?
She was wearing my father's. Got all mixed up. We were so poor, everybody had to wear everybody else's shoes, either.
Oh, Parky, it's wonderful how you can joke about those things. You know, it's only too bad that you couldn't have had some real schooling, or you would have been a big man today.
Ah, Betty, in the old country, you know, we don't get the great opportunities what this country gives you, you know, like free schools. You know, I'm always had an ambition for to be a lawyer or a doctor or a certified public accountant, something like that, you know. But instead of that, look at me in the restaurant business. Yeah, Betty, guess what I'm going to die with? A frying pan in one hand and a hot potato in the other. Betty, I guess I'm only a has-been.
Oh, Parky, you're never too old to make something important of yourself. Did you ever hear of Rousseau, the famous painter?
Rousseau, what about him?
Why, he didn't start to paint until he was 42 years old.
What's the matter? Couldn't he find his brush?
No, Parky, I mean your life is still ahead of you. You can still get anywhere you want and quickly, too.
Did you ever try to go from Glendale to Pasadena on a red bus?
Parky, I'm serious. Maybe you're in the wrong business. You may be a round peg in a square hole, and the very man you want to talk to, the man who can help you find yourself, is right here in town today.
He is? Who is it?
Professor William Latham.
Professor William... Oh, that is the man what is going for to speak in the Rotary Club today. That's the fellow what interviews you. He tells you what profession you should be in.
That's right.
Yes.
And it's his claim that the only reason for a man being a failure in life is that he's not doing what he was best suited for.
Well, then that is the man what I should see.
Sure.
You know, I don't belong in the restaurant business, Betty. You could tell that by my cooking.
Well, I'm sure the professor could help you, Parky. Now, look, he's going to be the mayor's guest at the luncheon today, and maybe the mayor could introduce you to him.
Sure, the mayor will introduce me to him, Betty. He's such a good friend of mine. But that mayor, he's so absent-minded. Before I could exclaim what I want, he gets so mixed up.
Well, Parky, the professor will be in town for only a couple of hours, and the mayor is the only one who can arrange a meeting.
Yeah. Okay, then I'll go over and I'll see the mayor. Oh, he comes up. Hello, Opie.
Hi, Parky. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Opie.
Say, Opie, how you feel? Let me take your pulse here. Say, you know, you look tired. If I was you, I'd get some exercise every day and stop eating those big meals, you see?
Parky, you talk like a doctor.
Well, not yet, but liable for to be a doctor any day now. Okay, you owe me $5 for that diagnostic, so I just give you that.
$5? I ain't going to give you no $5 for that.
You're not. Well, you better, because if you don't, I'll sue you. Don't forget, I'm liable for to be a lawyer, too.
What's he talking about, Betty?
Well, Parky's going over to see Professor Latham,
yes,
the eminent psychologist. He's the man who tells you, Opie, what to do, and he's never wrong.
Tells you what to do, and he's never wrong?
Yes.
He must have been a top sergeant.
Well, you see, Opie, Parky feels that he's in the wrong profession.
Yeah, Opie, maybe I'll have to go to school all over again.
School?
Yeah.
What's that?
You don't know what school is? Where do you go to learn things?
The balcony of the Paramount Theater?
No. Opie, let me for to explain you. You see, this professor, what I am going for to interview me, that is a man what he tells you what the professor what you're supposed to be in. Look, let me show you. Now, you are a musician.
That's right.
Well, maybe you should be something better than a musician.
Like what?
Like a garbage collector.
Oh, you're right, Parky. I am in the wrong business. You know, I shouldn't be playing no clarinet, blowing my brains out. What I'd love to do is throw my feet up on a desk, lean back, say a lot of things that don't mean nothing, and get a good salary every year just for doing nothing.
I know, but everybody can be a congressman. Yeah, Betty, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over and see the mayor and let him introduce me to the professor. You know, Betty, one thing what you don't got to do is to interview that professor, because you're in the right profession right now. Yeah, you know, when it comes to singing, nobody could sing no better than you. You are the best singer what I've never heard in my whole life. How's about a song right now?
All right, Parky. How about laughing on the outside, crying on the inside?
That's a good trick if you could do it.
The crowd sees me out dancing, carefree and romancing, happy with my someone new. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. They see me night and daytime, having such a gay time. They don't know what I go through. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. No one knows, it's just a pose, pretending I'm glad we're apart. And when I cry, my eyes are dry, the tears are in my heart. My darling, can't we make up? Ever since our breakup, make-believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. still in love with you.
Hello, Parky.
Hello, Bob. Say, Bob, you ought to be sure what you are in the right profession.
Right profession?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, did you ever think that with your voice, instead of what you're to being an announcer, maybe you should be peddling fish?
Peddling fish? Why, I was never so insulted
in all my... There, Bob. Why be irritated like an old gull? You see, there's a man in town today by the name Professor Latham. That is the man who tells you what you should do in your lifetime so you could be happy and... be a big smug smash and get some comfort and pleasure, you see?
Well, Parky, if it's comfort and pleasure you want, light an old gold.
Oh.
The comfort of extra protection against cigarette dryness, the pleasure of luxurious extra flavor. You see, old gold gives you the benefit of a remarkable moisture-protecting agent we call apple honey. Made from the juice of fresh apples, it helps prevent cigarette dryness. And for extra flavor, bouquet, and aroma... Old Gold adds a touch of Latakia tobacco to give you a tastier smoke, a friendlier smoke. Yes, light an Old Gold and enjoy the priceless comfort, the sheer pleasure of a truly great cigarette.
Yeah, well, Bob, I'm got for to go and see the mayor and let him introduce me to Professor Latham. Gee, wouldn't this be funny if he said what I should be a ballet dancer? You know something? If he says that, I'll have to take off about 35 pounds. Here's the mayor's office.
Well, come right in, Mr. Parker Carcass. I'll be with you in a minute.
Yes.
I'm just making out my check for the Red Cross. I want to get it in the mail today.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm going to send them another check, too. I hear where they could use some more money. You know, they do wonderful work.
Oh, yes. Why, you're quite a stranger around here.
Yes.
You want to see the mayor, I suppose.
Yes, I do.
Well, you'd better go right in. He's leaving in a few minutes to lunch with Professor Latham.
Thank you. Say, tell me, does the mayor be still so absent-minded?
Worse than ever.
Yes.
Do you know what he did this morning?
No, what?
He kissed an envelope he was carrying and stuck a stamp on my forehead.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, I didn't mind that, but when he tried to stuff me into the mailbox...
Yes. I'll let it go in. Oh, hello, Mr. Mayor.
Well, how do you do? Come right in. What can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll make it quick because I know that you're in a hurry and you want to get out of this office. You...
Get out of this office?
Yes.
I will not. The rent is paid, and before you can put me out, you'll have to give me 3 months' notice.
3 months' notice?
Yes, and if you're not out of here in 90 days, you'll find your furniture out in the street.
No, Your Honor, you don't understand. I am Parky Carcass.
Ignorance is no excuse.
Mayor, I think what you are a little mixed up. You see, I understand what you are having lunch today with Professor Latham. That is what I want for to see you about. I would like for to meet the professor.
You'd like to meet the professor?
Yes.
Well, it won't do you a bit of good. He's already married.
Married?
Yes, I am, and I've got two of the finest children you ever saw. Yes, indeed, it'll take a better man than you to break up my home.
Oh, look, I'm the one to break up your home.
Then stop spreading all those rumors.
Rumors?
Sorry, I can't take any new rumors now. I've got a single vacancy, but I'll be glad to take your name.
No, look, you're not the landlord. You're the mayor.
Why, of course I'm the mayor.
Yes.
And the greatest mayor this great city has ever had. To the great people of this great city gave me the great...
Look, let me start from the beginning, you see. I know what you are having lunch with Professor Latham today, and I'm thought if you could introduce me to him, then he could tell me what professment I should go into.
Oh, well, that's very simple.
Yes.
Whom did you say you want to meet?
Professor Latham.
Well, I'm very happy to know you, Professor. I'm very sorry I was late for our luncheon date, but I was held up in my office by a stupid man by the name of Parky Carcass.
My name is Parky Carcass.
In that case, I accept your apology. But tell me, Professor, why don't you join us for lunch? We'll get a table for three.
Table for three?
Yes, sir. Have you a reservation?
Well, I don't got no reservation.
Well, you've got a fine nerve coming around here and expecting to get a table without a reservation.
Why don't we forget the whole thing? I'm thinking what you better go have lunch with Professor Latham.
Heavens, I'm glad you reminded me.
Yes.
I was supposed to have lunch with him in 20 minutes. Yes. Goodness, I'll never make it. Do you mind if I run along, Professor? You see, I haven't much time. I've got to pick up the mayor and take him along with me. Goodbye, Your Honor. Goodbye.
Mr. Parker Carker, the mayor certainly got out of here in a hurry. Did you get what you wanted?
None. Look, all I wanted him for to do was to introduce me to Professor Latham.
Oh, well, that's all you wanted. I'll be glad to phone the professor at his hotel.
You would? Well, thank you very much. That would be wonderful. Let me for to see. I've got about 10 more minutes before my appointment with the professor. Think what I'll walk around the block for to kill a little time. Uh-oh, look who's coming now. It's that faker, Orville Sharp.
Well, hello, Mr. Pockycock.
Hello, Mr. Sharp.
Hey, Bob Williams tells me that you're on your way up to see Professor Latham. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Yes.
Hey, boy, you know, you're a very fortunate man that I stopped you in time. You realize that, don't you?
No, I didn't realize that. Why do I be so fortunate?
Because I can do exactly what the professor can do for you at half the price.
You could?
Why, absolutely. Now, you own a restaurant, but you feel that you're in the wrong profession. There's no doubt about that, is there?
No, there's no doubt about that.
Okay. Now, I represent a company called the Right Man for the Right Job Employment Agency. Don't forget our slogan. You'll be richer when we fit you into the right niche.
Yeah. You fit you in the right niche?
Why niche?
Look, Mr. Sharp, I never knew what you was in the employment agency business, feeding people into the right niches.
Why, say, been fitting people in the right niches for the last 7 years.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. That must be the 7-year niche. Am I correct? No, Mr. Sharp, I don't think what I better do business with you. I'm going to talk with Professor Latham because, you see, that is what he does, telling people what if they should be doing something different.
Forget the professor, will you? If you want to do something different, I can give you some attractive and unusual occupations.
Occupations? What kind of attractive, unusual occupations do you got?
Well, how'd you like to be Eskimo in Florida?
Did you say an Eskimo in Florida?
Uh-huh. You get paid by the Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Why should the Florida Chamber of Commerce pay me for being an Eskimo?
Because you walk around the streets down there, you're all wrapped up in big heavy furs, and you carry a sign on your back saying, I'm from California.
No, Mr. Scott. I'm the one for the business. I'm the one for to be no Eskimo in Florida.
Well, okay. Here's another unusual occupation for you.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, you go to Detroit.
Detroit?
Yeah. You open up a blacksmith shop between the Chrysler factory and General Motors.
How could I make any money in a blacksmith shop between two big automobile factories?
Brother? By the time they produce a single automobile, you can make thousands of dollars shoeing horses.
Look, Mr. Sharp, I don't think what I want any of you unusual occupations, especially a blacksmith shop in Detroit. So if you don't mind, I would like for to go and see Professor Latham.
Oh, I'm not good enough for you, huh?
No, you're not.
Well, brother, I got just the right unusual occupation for you.
You have? What is it?
Why don't you become a human spike?
A human spike? What is a human spike?
You just stand still, see?
Yes.
Then you let the people hit you over the head with sledgehammers until they drive you into the ground so deep you disappear altogether. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Wise guy. People hitting me over the head with sledgehammers. You could get a headache from that. Oh, my, it's 2 o'clock. It's time for me to go and see the professor. Gee, I'm so nervous.
Presents Obie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, playing It's Been a Long, Long Time. Why is smoking an old gold a new proposition? Why do you enjoy more comfort, more pleasure from an old gold than you normally expect from a cigarette? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's because old gold does more to give you more. Old gold devotes more attention to those little details and refinements that make such a tremendous difference in your smoking pleasure. In old golds, you get not only a blend of the world's choicest tobaccos, you get more, an added detail. Latakia tobacco for extra flavor and richness. And in old golds, you get more than the ordinary moistening agent. You get the special humectant, apple honey, which helps prevent cigarette dryness. Why, even the paper on old gold is a luxurious detail, for it's made from virgin pure flax, converted into snow-white, smooth, even-burning cigarette paper. So ask for old golds at your tobacco counter. Look for them in the cigarette vending machine. Smoke an old gold. Then see exactly what we mean when we say, to get more out of your smoking, enjoy the cigarette that does more to give you more, Old Gold.
They told me downstairs where the professor is in room 210. Oh, here it is, room 210.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? You are prepared for Professor Latham?
Yes. Come right in, my good man. Think clearly. Think correctly. Be alert. Be honest. You can be the master of your destiny.
Good.
Face it on the sofa.
Thank you. Sofa? What sofa? There's no sofa in here.
Ah, no imagination.
Professor, my name is Parkiakakis.
Oh, yes. The mayor's secretary phoned me about you.
Of course he did.
Now, Mr. Parkiakakis, before we can do a single thing...
Yes.
I've got to ask you the most important question of all.
Yes?
Where's my fee? Oh,
yes. How much is your fee?
Oh, $50, $100, $200, $300, $400.
Heard you the first time. Okay, Professor, here's your $50.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Yes. That makes me become very interested in your problem. Yes. Now tell me your story.
Well, Professor, I'm in the wrong profession, you see.
Yes, well, don't you worry. Don't you worry. Yes. After our interview, I shall tell you exactly what profession you are best suited for.
Yes, I know all about the wonderful work what you are doing. I heard what you are wonder.
You did?
Yes, I did.
That'll be an additional $50.
I had to open my big mouth. Okay, here's $50 more.
Thank you, thank you. Yes. I shall now proceed to analyze you.
Analyze me?
Yes.
Is this going to hurt?
No, no, not at all. Yes. Not at all. Now, the first thing I shall do is give you the word association test.
What's that, the word association test?
Well, now, I say a word.
Yes.
And you tell me an object that's associated with it.
Oh.
For example, if I say flower, you say rose. Is that clear?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first word. Flower.
Rose.
Amazing. Now, here. Here's your next word. Fence.
Fence?
Yes.
Ticket.
Ticket?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's your next word. Picket.
Rose. Rose? Yes, every time I see a rose, I pick it.
This is the most confusing problem, Mr. Parker Cocker. It's most difficult to find your proper category. But I'm sure that if you will give me an additional $50, that will go a long way toward helping me determine what profession you should go into.
It would, Rocky. Here's your $50 more, Professor. You know, it's worth it to me if you could only tell me the right thing what I should be doing.
Oh, we'll get it all right. Now I want you to tell me all about your childhood. Start when you were a baby.
Well, I don't know how much I could remember, you see, because when I was a baby, I was very young.
Very well, very well. Now, perhaps I can help you remember.
Yes?
Did you ever have a desire to play with dolls?
Yes, I did.
Good, good. How old were you then?
42.
I see. Now, just keep talking, Mr. Parker Carcass. Tell me all about yourself, about your present work. Tell me everything.
Well, you see, Professor, I'm working now 18 hours a day, and I hate what I'm doing. I'm got for to do everything myself. When I get up in the morning, I'm just hate for to go down to my business. Every day I get up, I can't stand the thought of spending another day there.
Mr. Parker Carcass?
Yes?
Your case is an open book to me.
It is?
Yes. You come under classification X-13.
X-13?
Yes. You're the perfect type. I know exactly what kind of work you should be doing.
You do? Well, tell me, Professor, what should my life work be?
You should be in the restaurant business.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
For the further adventures of Parker Carcass, Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Wally Mayer, Obie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, tune in again next Sunday, same time, same station. Meanwhile, don't let little annoyances get you down. Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Its tobaccos are specially conditioned to help guard against cigarette dryness, to give you more smoking pleasure. Then we'll see you next Sunday. Is it a date? Okay, meet me at Parkies. Meet Me at Parkies is written by Hal Finberg and Parker Carcass. This is Bob Williams saying good night for Old Gold.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.